This series that we have been covering, or that we started last week, that Reverend Burks started last week, actually, is called The Gospel. And so last week we talked about the gospel of forgiveness. And we mentioned the Roman road and the need for us to be forgiven because we're guilty of sin. And that Jesus Christ paid our debt on the cross. And he rose again and that now that what we preach to you is a gospel of forgiveness. That's what was talked about last week. However, that is not the only way the gospel can be presented. There's another way, and that's going to come. And we're going to start just for a reference in the book of Luke. The book of Luke, the 15th chapter, the 21st through 24th verses. And what I'm going to do is, there's going to be a little bit of a scripture hopping today, so don't worry if you can't keep up. I'll do my best to try to announce the scriptures as I say them. You'll see that the text supports everything that we're saying. So it's not just Luke, but it'll be all over. Luke, the 15th chapter, the 21st verses, through the 24th verses. The book of Luke, the 15th chapter, verses 21 through 24. And in the interest of time, I'm going to go ahead and read this out of the Christian Standard Bible version. The book of Luke, 15th chapter, the 21st through the 24th verses. It reads as follows. It says, "The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.'" Verse 22, "But the father told his servants, 'Quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then bring the fattened calf and slaughter it, and let's celebrate with a feast.' Verse 24, 'Because this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." I would like to come to you from the following subject: the gospel of restoration. Last week we talked about the gospel of forgiveness. This is the gospel of restoration. Now you don't have to shout at me right now. Don't say it out loud. But what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of the name Jeffrey Epstein? I'm pretty sure not many of us would say the philanthropist, the one that, the entrepreneur. I'm sure that not many of us would say that immediately. What about Sean P. Diddy Puff Daddy Combs? It's not media mogul. It's not rapper entertainer. But has been already shouted out, and I did not pay anybody to shout this out. The first thing that we think about Sean Combs is baby oil. The first thing that we think about Epstein is pedophile. And it's horrible enough that they did these things or were accused of these things and brought shame upon themselves. But not only did they bring shame upon themselves, they brought shame upon their name. It's reported that that even certain members of the Combs family were thinking about changing their last names just to avoid being associated with it. From what I understand, it did not happen, but that was a discussion, a rumor that was thrown out there. Again, from what has been reported, Jeffrey Epstein was buried next to his parents, and not only was he buried in an unmarked grave, but they actually removed the lettering off of the parents' graves to avoid them being vandalized. So when you talk about bringing shame, sometimes shame is brought upon the group. And when shame is brought upon the group, then people want to alienate themselves from you. That's the thing about cancel culture nowadays. If you say something racist or sexist or whatever it may be, and you go online with it or you're heard with it or whatever it may be, you lose brand deals because Nike can't be associated with you. Walmart can't be associated with you. You lose these things. Jobs tend to find a way to get you out of there, not because you're not doing your job, but because you're bringing a bad name. And I'd hate to say this, but even it happens at churches. And in fact, let's talk about the greatest shame thing that's happening right now is what's happening with the church. We know who our God is. We know how honorable and how glorious he is. But we do have some Christians that have messed it up. And there are some Christians, some on Capitol Hill, on TV, who celebrate the destruction of families, who celebrate the ruining of lives. They celebrate it. And so I understand for those of us who want to stay away from a church like St. John because you're so tired of all of them Christians, but our God is not like them Christians. But do y'all understand what happened? Do y'all understand what happened is some of the Christians brought shame. And now here we are with preachers like me trying to distance ourselves from the people that bring shame. Because it looks bad if I'm good and buddy-buddy with those who hate gays and lesbians. It looks bad if I'm with those who love to just break up families and find joy in shackling the undocumented and taking them to the border and kicking them out of the country. It looks bad. Because those people are bringing shame to us. But even more so, it looks bad on God. Because we know that God is gracious and compassionate. He's slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. We know these things, but people have messed it up. And what God should do is to distance himself from them. Because if we're over here trying to, say that we're Christians and we're acting on behalf of God and we're not acting on behalf of God, why would God keep letting us do this? God's name is holy. It is reverent. It is to be honored. It is to be glorified. It is to be lifted up. His reputation matters. And if we disrupt it and if we mess it up, we should be alienated from him, just like everybody else does in this world. But then here is the gospel, is that when we look in the Bible, Adam and Eve were the first humans. God created them, man and woman. He created them as the crown of his creation. When God creates something, and some of us artistic people know this, when God creates something, it is an extension of himself. It's supposed to glorify himself. The world that he created, the mountains and the trees and the birds and the bees and all of these things, the planets, the stars, the galaxies, these things glorify our Lord and Savior. And so the fact that he did this and said it was good, and then he created man and woman and said it was very good. He crowned us. He made us in his image. That means we are the special piece. That means we're the most honorable piece. That means we're the ones in charge. We're the ones that have the reputation. We're the ones that really, truly glorify God. Yes, the birds do what they do. Yes, the dogs and the cats can do what they do. But there's something special about humans that represents a God, the image of God, because we were made in it. We have honor. We have dignity. That is literally the reason why murder is so evil. It's because we're made in the image of God. We have honor, we have dignity because God made us. And what happened from there? What happens from there is that Adam and Eve were made the right way. They were made perfect. However, they sinned. And they ate from the fruit of the garden of Eden, when God had told them not to do it. They did it. And something happened. Because what happened before was that Adam and Eve would walk around naked. They were naked and they were not ashamed. That's Genesis. Genesis 2:25, if I got it correctly, amen. Genesis 2:25 says the man and woman walked around and they were not ashamed, they were naked. Haven't y'all noticed we are the only quote-unquote animals on the world that wear clothes? Have y'all noticed that? I've never seen bears wear clothes. I've never seen birds wear clothes. And the only time I've seen dogs wear clothes is when humans put it on them. Even they try to say we evolved from apes and monkeys and whatnot, they don't wear clothes either. We're the only ones that wear clothes. And that happened because when they ate of the fruit of the tree, Genesis 3:7 says that the eyes of both of them were opened. And they saw, and they knew they were naked. So they sewed, get this, fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. I know we live in LA and we got a whole lot of fashion going on, but when's the last time y'all seen some fig leaf clothes? When's the last time y'all seen some plant dresses? They tried to cover up something that they thought was shameful. And here's the interesting thing. God made them naked. And sin made them cover themselves up. Sometimes what we do with the shame in our lives is contrary to the design of God. Because sometimes we're trying to cover up who God made us to be. Now, this is not a PSA. This is not a public service announcement to get rid of your clothes, all right? God has blessed us to continue wearing clothes. But what happened was that they were, get this, ashamed. That was the first time in the history of mankind that man and woman felt ashamed. And they were ashamed because they were naked. They weren't ashamed because they did something wrong. They were ashamed because they were naked. And see, that's what shame is. Shame is not I did something wrong. Shame is I am something wrong. There's a difference. There's some of us walking around with shame right now. Shame, that I am the problem in my family. I am the deadbeat father. I am the crack addict, the coke addict. I am these things. And so what we try to do, what we try to do is we try to hide it with some fig leaves. We do our best to try to cover ourselves up. Hey amen, it's all right. Technology ain't working with me. We're going to keep moving. Amen. We try to cover ourselves with this false religion. This false way of being accepted by God. See, when you have offended an honorable and holy and righteous and glorious God, what should happen is that somebody like him cannot be associated with somebody like you. But even in the garden, what happens is the beginnings of the gospel. Because God gave them animal skins to cover them, which was a more appropriate clothing, which would help them to, you know, feel a little better than some fig leaves. Why am I saying this? Why is this important? It's because when you sin, sin brings shame. And what the shame does is it separates you from God. It messes up the relationship. Remember, you're supposed to be honorable and you've got God and whatnot, but sin messes that up. And God, in all of his holiness and all of his honor and all of his glory, he really shouldn't be seen with a sinner like you. If y'all have questions about that, have y'all ever been to heaven? In heaven, there is none of that sin stuff. There is none of that shame stuff. There is none of that guilt stuff. All the sins are removed in heaven. And that's how God likes it. So how are you and I, sinful selves, going to go to heaven? And so we come up with these ways to try to figure it out. We got to earn our honor. And sometimes that's the reason why some of us even go to church. Because we feel like we can earn our honor. God, I'm telling you, I know you're so honorable. I want you to see me as honorable. So you're going to see me come to church, God. You're going to see me worship you. You're going to see me give tithes and offering. Even if you don't go to church, you're going to see me be good to people. You're going to see me make a name for myself and do everything that you would want me to do. You're going to see that, God. And because I will be so honorable, because I will be worthy enough to be in your presence, that shame will be removed. But here's the problem. I don't know if y'all realize this, but there is nothing Mr. Diddy can do to erase the shame that he did in his past. And that's just with us. There's nothing, because y'all know we don't forgive, right? God forgives, but people don't. There's nothing Epstein could do if he were alive. There's nothing he could do to wash away the stink of what he had done for years and years. And so when we try to do the same thing with God, and we expect God to just kind of forget about what has embarrassed him, what has humiliated him, we think we're good enough, we're honorable enough to forget these things, we're crazy. So how do you do this? Because sin separates us from God. And we know that sin, when it has reached its end, is designed to put us into hell, which is eternal separation from God, according to 1 Thessalonians 1 chapter 8 through 9 verse. But what do you do if you're supposed to try to be honorable with God? And you're trying to come to church and you're trying to do all of these things to get your honor back, to get your name back, and it doesn't work. And some of you say, well, how do you know it doesn't work? Because Matthew 7 says, it talks, is Jesus talking about there are people that are saying, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? You know, didn't we do all these miracles for you? Didn't we cast out demons? And Jesus said, I never knew you, depart from my presence. How in the world can we do it? If we can't even cast out demons for Jesus, we can't even do miracles, and we're doing all these things, and we're still not accepted? We're still not? How do you do what God, how do you follow the Bible and not make God happy? How do you try to be honorable, but just you cannot wash the stench of your sin off of God? How do you do that? And the answer is, you can't. But Jesus can. This is why the gospel is so good. Because Jesus, it says in Philippians 2, although he was in the form of God, he did not consider it a thing to be held on to, grasped, exploited. But Jesus, the honorable Son of God, the perfect and sinless and wonderful Son of God, descended, and he was born through the Virgin Mary. And he lived for 33 years. And he was perfect. He did everything right. He never had a slip up. He never cussed anybody out. He never got drunk. He never got high. He never slept with so-and-so's baby mama. He never did any of that. He was good. All the time and all the time, he was good. But Jesus was in the form. He came as a man. And the Bible says in Philippians, it says he was obedient to the point of death. Even death on a cross. And I know we're living nearly 2,000 years after, you know, the crosses have been made or used in that manner. But the cross was a tool for execution in the Roman culture. And what happened was, when they put you on the cross, I need you to get rid of all of those images of the three crosses on that lonely hill that's way up there. I need you to get rid of that. Because if it were happening today, Jesus would have been put up on Crenshaw and King, where everybody could see him. Where everybody could walk by and say, yeah, see, this is why you don't mess with the government. Yeah, see, this is why you don't mess with the Pharisees. Yep. Oh, he must have did something bad. And even before that, now, I mean, it's one thing to put Jesus on the cross like that. But then even before that, he was beaten and spit on and mocked. And even while he was dying in front of his mama, y'all, they were gambling for his clothes. Jesus took the shame that we deserved so that we get the honor that he deserved. Jesus was on the cross, and he considered it. He counted it all joy. Why? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the what? Shame. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews 12 too. He endured, he despised the shame. But now he is seated at the right hand of God. Now I jumped to some steps. What you mean he's seated at the right hand of God? See, look, yes, he died. Yes, he took all of our shame on the cross. Yes, we who were embarrassing God get to be honored with God because Jesus took all of that embarrassment for on himself. Yes, that happened. But then what happened was he was buried. And he was dead all Friday night. And then he was dead all Saturday. But early Sunday morning, he got up. He got up. And why is that significant that he's risen from the dead? Because when you die a shameful death, what's supposed to happen is you're supposed to get your name etched out of the tombstone. What's supposed to happen is people take your body out the tomb and do something. And that's what Mary thought, because they thought that they robbed his body. They thought that they were just going to get rid of him. But Jesus turned around and said, Mary. And she said, Rabbi, that means you alive. I can't believe you're alive. Jesus died a shameful death. Shameful people stay dead. But Jesus got up. And so what that proves is that Jesus deserves all the honor and all the praise. And that is why that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That is why in Revelation 19, he gets that title of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is why in Revelation 5, they're talking about, you know, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And so, some of us are asking, where do you go from here? Where do you go from here? We have 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, 18 through 20. 2 Corinthians, 5th chapter, 18 through 20. Because I just talked about how good Jesus is. I just talked about how honorable he is. I mean, you got to have some honor when you could take everybody's shame and die for it, and God still raise you from the dead. You got to be somebody honorable. So what do we do with that? What do we do with that? 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, 18 through 20. It says, everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ. Reconciled. That's a, you know, that's one of these, you know, $20 words. You know, it basically means to make things good between you and me. Y'all know how it is. Sometimes y'all upset with certain people. Some of us have people we can't even have in our lives, right? Hello? But what God has done is worked out where we and the Father couldn't even talk, but Jesus has made it so that we can talk. We can talk. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:18. And has given us, wait a minute. How did we go from shameful to having honor? To Romans 8, where it says that for those of us that are led by the Spirit of God, we are sons of God. How do we go from that to sons and daughters of God? And even a further promise later on in the chapter of Romans 8, 28, that neither height nor depth nor powers nor principalities nor any created thing will ever separate us from the love of Christ. The whole point of sin was to separate us. And so now what you're saying is that God has honored us and that he has exalted us and he has glorified us, not for us to be worshipped. No, take that out of there. But that we have a name that as long as we are in Christ Jesus, that we are honored, that we are sons and daughters of God. And how in the world can we do that? And then God gives a guarantee that knows nothing, no, nor any created thing will ever separate us. How do we get that status? But not only are we sons and daughters, not only do we have that that promise that nothing will ever separate us from the love of Christ. Not only that, but in verse 19, or verse 18, it says he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Keep reading, James. Verse 19, we about to be done here, y'all. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. God was reconciling the world to himself. God, who was upset with us, who's ready to throw us into eternal fire, who couldn't even talk with us, who couldn't even look at us, always had a plan to bring us back. And he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. What you mean? What you mean? Verse 20, it says, therefore, not only are we sons and daughters, not only are we guaranteed that the love of Christ will never be far from us, we will never be separated from that. But it says, verse 20, we get a job, y'all. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Do y'all know what an ambassador does? An ambassador is responsible for going into a foreign land and representing the United States of America. An ambassador here means that God thinks so highly of us. Yes, those of us who used to be drunk, those of us who used to get high, those of us who used to be angry and cuss people out. Yes, those of us who cheated, those of us who were deadbeats, those of us, God somehow, some way decided that now that we're in Christ, we get to represent him in an official capacity. Some of us got a record. We can't even get a job. But God said that we can represent him officially. How much more honorable can you get than to represent the kingdom of God? We are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. And so we plead on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. I need to end this. See, the story, most Christians are familiar, but if you're not familiar with the section of the story we read earlier, Luke 15, a little way down there, the Lord is talking about a son who had two fathers. I mean, a father who had two sons. And one of those sons acted a straight up fool. The inheritance that the son was supposed to get, he was supposed to get it after the father died. So, you know, if you ask for your inheritance, that's kind of like saying you wish you were dead, right? That's what the son did. The son went to the father and basically said, I can't wait for you to die. I can't wait for you to die. Give me my money right now. Give me everything you're supposed to give me right now. Oh, forget the fact that you still need it because you're still alive. Forget that fact. Give me my money right now. Run me my check right now. And the father gave it to him. And the son went out and invested it. No. The son went out and bought some businesses and made some financially smart decisions. No. The son went out and spent it on girls, y'all. Throw it. But here's the thing, some of us know that once that money runs out, everybody else run out too. And that's what happened. He spent it on all these prostitutes. Absolutely crazy that he took his dad's inheritance, basically wished he was dead, and spent that money on some whores, y'all. And he went and spent it all. And then he went, he said he needs to work. And then he went and worked on a pig farm, which is a big deal in the Jewish culture. That is the worst of the worst. And not only did he work on a pig farm, but he wanted to eat the pig slop. And get this, and I just found out this the other day. Not only did he want to eat the pig slop, people wouldn't even let him do it. Read it. Because they just could not stand him. He's shameful at home. He's shameful with everybody else. He broke. He working in some ridiculous profession. And he hungry, and he can't even get people to feel bad for him. That's bad, y'all. But what happened was that one day, the Bible says he came to his senses. And he said, you know what? Let me come home. Let me go home. And you know what? I'm not even trying to be a son anymore. Because what I did is inexcusable. I can't even be a son anymore. I just want to work. I really just want to eat. And if I gotta work for I'll work for it. I can't do this no more. And so the son went. And as the Bible says, he was still a long way off. When the father, the one he disrespected, the one he humiliated, the one he dishonored, that father ran to go greet his son. When's the last time you seen anybody with power run to somebody? The father ran to him and hugged him and kissed him. He ain't even take a shower yet. He still smelled like pig. He hugged him. And he kissed his old little bacon smelling self. And he said, bring out the fattened calf and bring out the robe. And why? Because the son went through the whole thing, said, look, I can't even do this. I just want to eat. Let me just work. He said, no. We're gonna bring out the fattened calf and all that. Why? Because my son was dead and now he's alive. He was lost. And now he's found. And I say this to some of you. I don't know what you did in your lives. But our Lord is like that father, just waiting for you to come home. He's waiting for you. Just come. He's waiting for you. Yeah, I know you got, you know, multiple kids and you not raising all of them. Come on. Yeah, I know you got a record, you know, you got a pass. Come on. Yeah, I know your family don't even want to talk to you. You can't even be seen on the street. Come on, still. Come through. Because the Father has a robe he wants to put on you. But you've got to accept his invitation.